Okay, so I guess we'll start with the Chufa, since you posted it from Ravesha Weiss on can on bottle caps. So let's first review the theory of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which we've talked about before, and then we'll consider the critique of Rav Asher Weiss from Simen Chaf Ches of Mimchas Asher Chelik Aleph. So the position of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is that we should distinguish between metal caps and bottle caps and plastic bottle caps. Everybody would agree, by the way, that you know, we're not talking like a beer bottle cap. That's certainly going to be okay. That's no different than breaking off the cover of a chavis. The question is that both plastic and metal bottle caps break the tab when you open it, when they're new. And so the primary concern that we're going to work on now is that of a CS kli, and specifically, are you making a kli when you open the bottle cap? Which kli? The bottle cap. The bottle cap is now going to become a kli. And don't tell me that there's no such thing as a CS kli if it's going to only, if it's disposable, essentially. And this is a point that Rav Asher Weiss brought up in that first piece, part of the piece, because he brings a proof that we know that if you turn a piece of like a stick into a toothpick, so that is chayiv. And it's an interesting question why. We're going to talk about it. The Rambam actually sounds like it's chayiv mishum mechatech. So hopefully we're going to get to that today. We'll talk about mechatech. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that you're chayiv mishum makbapatesh. Interesting thing about, maybe that's why the Rambam thought it was a mechatech, not makbapatesh. But because it is disposable. But the simple understanding is that you're chayiv mishum makbapatesh. As opposed to if it's made out of, you make like take a straw and turn that into a toothpick, that's going to be mutter because it's made out of animal food. But if you use a twig, which is not edible for animals, so then it would be aser. So an interesting question is why is it mutter when it's made out of food? I'm not using it to eat. I'm using it to as a kli, as a toothpick. And there are differing approaches in the Rishonim about that question as well. But for now, we want to focus on when you use a piece of wood, a stick, a twig, and use that as a toothpick, then you're chayiv. Why? You've made a kli. What kli? Toothpick. And what are you going to do as soon as you clean out your teeth? Throw it out. And yet you're chayiv. So we see that you're chayiv even for a one-time use. And therefore, even though you're going to throw out this bottle cap as soon as you finished your bottle of soda, nevertheless, it should be aser because of makrapatish or tikkun kli when you've made the bottle cap. That's the concern. Now, the presumption is that it's not a kli until you twist it off. When you twist off the bottle cap, then you're turning it into a kli. That's the issue that we need to address. Now, what was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's theory? So he made the following argument. He said, there's a difference between plastic and metal. Plastic, the way it's worked, if you go to the bottling plant, they take a plastic bottle cap, looks more or less the same as the one that you're going to see in a moment. They twist it on, and then they put some type of heat seal whereby they push it in a little bit so that now when you untwist the bottle cap, the tab will break off. Why do they do that? It's not because this is a tighter seal, really. It's so that you know that your bottle cap has not been tampered with. That's the goal. So therefore, they put this heat seal on. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, you know what? This is not a problem. Why? Again, we'll talk about the potential mechatech issue, but let's just leave that aside for later. We'll talk about why that probably isn't a mechatech issue for anybody. But leaving aside the mechatech issue, so in terms of tikkun kli, says, look, this was already a kli. This bottle cap was a kli in the factory when they made it and they put it on. But they make that heat seal. That's not mafkia the shem kli. And therefore, since this was a kli beforehand, why can't you use it? There's no CS kli. It was already a kli. The tzad lasor, in other words, is that by putting it on the bottle, they're mafkia the shem kli. It was a kli beforehand, but maybe they're mafkia the shem kli. much like the position of the Chazon Ish that we referred to last time about cans. The Chazon Ish held that when they seal the cans, that's mafkia the shem kli. And that's why opening up a can is a shaila of asiyas kli, because it's batal mimenu shem kli. It's not a kli. But here, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, that's very, very different. Even if you would accept that view of the Chazon Ish, which, as we know, it isn't pasha. It's not obvious that sealing a can is an act of stira. But even if you accepted that Chazon Ish, and you said that, yes, a can is a closed can, has no shem kli because it's basically useless. Here, it's still a cap. Okay, it's a cap with a heat seal, but it's still a cap. How is that different than the metal? So the way that they make metal bottle caps, as far as I could tell from the tshuva or from the Shmir Shabbos Kuchas, is as follows. They take a piece of metal, like tin foil, and they put it over the glass. That's usually, they're only with glass ones, which are stronger. And they sort of shape the bottle cap on the bottle, and they put that heat seal and the like. Now, in other words, they didn't take the metal bottle cap and twist it on. It wasn't a bottle cap before they put it on. Before they put it on, it was a piece of aluminum. It only, and therefore it's first, you could see the opening of the bottle as the first usage, the completion of the bottle cap. So that's a problem. Whereas here, it was already a functional bottle cap before they put it on, therefore we wouldn't use it that way. That's basically the argument of Shlomo Zalman. Now, Yoni did some internet research, and he says that maybe even metal bottle caps are used nowadays in the same way as the plastic bottle caps. So from YouTube, okay. So one will need to do a little more research to find out if that's true for all bottle caps or the like. Anyway, metal bottle caps are not particularly common, at least in America. The way to, you know, maybe they'll become more popular as they stop using plastic. But if you have such a metal bottle cap in Eitza that you could do, for us, the only time we ever have them is with the sparkling grape juice. So again, we try to remember to open it up before Shabbos. But let's say you have a guest who brings you a bottle of sparkling grape juice before Shabbos. So what do? So the Eitza is you take a knife and you make a big hole in the metal metal bottle cap. Can't do that with the plastic bottle cap. They're too hard. But the metal ones is actually very easy. You make a big hole. So now it's definitely not a kli. And now you could turn it off, take it out, throw it off. If you have another bottle cap, you could cover it. Now you'll have to just drink all your sparkling grape juice that night. It'll make your kids happy. So that is with respect to metal and not plastic. So what is the objection that the Rav Asher Weiss has on that? So his principal objection is that he thinks that actually, when they put the heat seal, they are mafkia, the shame clay. And when you reopen it, you are making a clay. And he brings the following raya, the sugya on daf memchas on the base by Poseach Beis HaTzavar. Poseach Beis HaTzavar is chayiv. So as we know, there's a machlokas, are you chayiv mishum korea, that's view of the Rambam, or tikkun mana, that's a view of Rashi. Assuming you're chayiv because of makba patish, then there's a further debate. What are we talking about? According to Rashi, we're talking about a new shirt, right? So I'm opening up my shirt for the first time. The mitzius is something along the lines. Imagine like a polo shirt without, where the buttons are not, you know, are not open yet. They're sewn shut. So you go ahead and this first time to put on the shirt, you need to sort of cut open the base atzavar. That's the opening where you put your neck through. So it's going to fit on. So that's obvious. There's no big chiddush that it would be makba patish. You're, after all, finishing it. Again, the Bir Halacha dealt with extensively why is into Korea, what's the machlokas between Rashi and Rambam and the like, where that we dealt with. But that it would be makba patish, especially once it's not Korea, very easy to understand. But the Ramban, the Ritva both learn over there that we're actually talking about a case where you might have worn this already. And what happens? You take your polo shirts to the laundromat. They seal up, they sew up the base atzavar so it doesn't get ruined in the process of laundering, I suppose. And then when you get it back home from the laundromat, you now are posech base atzavar, you cut it open. So you're chayv mishum makba patish nevertheless. So what do you see? You see that even though you've used this before, if it's become non-functional and now it's becoming refunctional, that's a violation of Makom Patish. So says Rav Asher Weiss, that's the exact same thing that's happening with the bottle caps. You've used this bottle cap before. Yes, it's true, in a factory they screwed on a bottle cap, but it's become non-functional, namely when they put the heat seal, and now it's becoming refunctional when you open it. That's his time now. I don't know if that Rishon Zalman would be bothered by that. And the reason is because it's quite a different story. In the case over here of the bottle cap, it is functional bottle cap all the way through. It's just that there's this little heat seal that they put on so you could tell that it's new. It's not, putting on that heat seal isn't a, doesn't make it a non-functional body cap, bottle cap. It's very different than the shirt that's sewn up. The shirt that's sewn up is really, it's a non-functional shirt, right? If you have, there's a hole for your neck and now they sew up that hole. So now it's not functional as a shirt. So then we could say, okay, so then when you go ahead and cut it, that's going to be tikkun matna. That I understand. Here it's fully functional. There's a shtickle mania that, you know, you have to overcome, but there, it's not, I think that it's not such a good dimyum. I think that you could certainly make a chaluk that in this case, it's never batal mimenu shein bottle cap the whole way through. And so I think Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's theory still stands.
The point he makes in like one of the later pages is you want the cap to be able to both screw and unscrew. So it's true, it's a functional bottle cap to close things, but while the thing is on, it's very hard to.
It's true. I can't say that, you know, the chiluk is totally. In other words, that his theory is totally wrong. But I still think that there's a very big gap between this case and that case. It is true that in its current state, it would be hard to use. And it's true. If you try to use the bottle cap without breaking the seal, you can get it on, you can get it off, but it's not particularly useful. And now you can't. But the question is putting this thing, mafkia shein bottle cap? The answer is no, it's still a bottle cap. And so now there's this thing that's blocking it until you get it off, which makes it harder to use. But we could still see it as a usable bottle cap, as opposed to the case of the shirt, Now, some of the other svaros that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach throws in, Rav Asher Weiss objects to, and even those, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach himself didn't necessarily fully accept. Like, one sad that Shlomo Zalman had was that if you have another bottle cap, so it's like Islei Hoshana Achriti, so it wouldn't be considered tikkun mana. And he points out that that might only be true in sort of a halachic tikkun, like over there. Okay, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wasn't fully by that, because then he would be makil by a metal bottle cap if he had another bottle cap already. I think that was more of a sniff, which might still be a sniff, even if it wouldn't be true for everybody. As Rav Asher points out, that might not be accepted by all Rishonim, that chiluk. So I don't, what were some of the other sparrows? Yeah.
What he ended up saying is that nowadays the plastic caps, they don't add on the seal, but they're just made in one piece and they're made in a certain way that they can just be pressed on. Mm-hmm. So the final, it's really not like a step where they added on something afterwards. So isn't the last, like this final step, you want to take off that ring and make it a fully functional cap? Like, does that change it at all?
So you're saying like this, is it possible that the Rishon Zalman Auerbach would agree the way they're made nowadays?
Right. He quotes Rishon Zalman Auerbach as being the spiral low that actually they make it the new way.
And he was still making
okay it. Because it wasn't the go more to go and twist it on. But he says, yeah, but it wasn't so useful to go and take it off.
Right. So
yeah, I think the Mor Shabbos is almost
yeah, it was a letter.
Yeah.
He wrote letters. So the question is, what would be that nowadays, again, since the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach didn't change his mind, but subsequent to the initial ruling, so they started manufacturing them in a different process whereby they put it on attached.
That's all I saw online also.
So they put it on. They no longer use that heat seal type thing. So they put it on and now they twist it off. So now you could be seen as completing it. And even though it's functional before, we certainly know that Magba Patish is Shaykh to be Chayev when something is functional, but still not totally finished. That's l'chora, exactly what's happening here. It's functional, but not totally finished, right? So what did Rosh Shlomo Zalman say to that? So we don't really know, right?
I didn't look up the letter side. You guys in paragraph 35.
So I didn't look it up either, the letter. Which one? Page? Langdon printed the pages. Very easy. Shakasa Sharm. Okay. Rishen Sefer Moshe Bishnis Barlo Shuv Talich Yitzur Kake Plastic Elu Both an Acher. Fine. Avol Yerushal Ridom Algavi Bakbuk El Alide Piruk Hatabas Hatachtona. Because if he's that, Yesh Tam Acher Lahatir Psichas Kake Plastic De Kli Gamor Hu The Rabbi Tzur Asa On the Kovi Is Lavi Go Algavi Bakbuk.
The fact that you can just push it
on. He doesn't. We don't know what he would answer to that, right? So I assume. I wonder if you can make the following distinction, which is that Tzar Tzura, it's a functional cup, let's say, before you put the decoration on. And now when you put the decoration on, you've completed it because you don't want just a functional cup, you want a beautiful cup. And so you've done that. Over here, you've sort of built it in a stupid way. I mean, it's for a reason, but so that you'll have this ability to identify it as being done, right? Now, the question is, there's two ways to look at it. We could say this bottle cap is done. It's completed in a factory. That's where Shlomo Zalman looked at it. Or the way Rav Asher Weiss is saying it is, no, we should look at this as being left intentionally incomplete so that when you take it home, you'll be able to finish it. And therefore, it's going to be Asar Mishma Tikkun Mana. Right? That's basically the way that the way we should see it, right? So I suppose the way Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is saying it is that this is complete. It's true that it wasn't like a ladder insertion, right? This is basically complete. It's done, it's finished, and it's built in with this extra feature, which allows you to be able to notice that this has been untampered with. But that is seen more as an add-on and not a completion. Now, certainly that svara we accept when we're talking about things that aren't integrated, right? For example, let's say it was a plastic external seal or a price tag or something like that, where these things inhibit the functionality of the object, but we see them as not integrated, and therefore we say it's not makpatish when you rip off the price tag, right? Or you took off that plastic seal or the like. And in that case, it's easy, right? That's why this is much more of a tricky question, because it's integrated. It's part of the bottle. It's not michutz mimenu. At the same time, I think what Shlomo Zalman is saying is, yes, it's integrated, but we should sort of see it as that. In other words, you've completed the bottle cap, and there's this feature of the bottle cap which you don't need after the first time you've used it, and therefore it's discarded. Rav Asher Weiss is saying, no, that it's built with one step missing. Yeah, it's true, that's the purpose. Right? So that's the question, how do you look at this? Do you look at this as an incomplete bottle cap, or do you look at it as a complete bottle cap with a feature that allows you to see that nobody's been tampered with this until you opened it?
And why is it different than Poseach Beis HaTzavar when they covered over the first time?
Poseach Beis HaTzavar is, that's what I said, that there I still think the fundamental difference is the fact that you can't use it as a shirt leaves us no room for this distinction. Here, that it still is a functional bottle cap makes that different than Poseach Beis HaTzavar. Now, still, you could, again, I think that it's not an obvious extrapolation from Poseach Beis HaTzavar, I do see the svara to be machmir. I see the svara to be mekel. So I don't think Poseach Beis HaTzavar is a pircha, because there's a very big difference. The question is, could you still say it's incomplete? It's not like Poseach Beis HaTzavar, you finish the shirt, and then you have this add-on to make you realize that the shirt's new. What?
I thought that's exactly.
No, it's not to know that it's new. It's actually incomplete, and it's not functional as a shirt until that point.
If you have a functional shirt, then they add these stitches just so you know that it's new.
No, it's not. So you know it's new. So it doesn't. In a case where I don't think there's anything to do with knowing that it's new. I think in the case of the Ramban, it doesn't get wrecked in the laundry, and in the case of Rashi, it just hasn't been finished. Did you see anywhere that it says that, so you should know it's new?
Well, why would they put stitches over the neck for no reason if you're just supposed to break it when you buy it?
To protect it, to keep it, I don't know, not from ripping, I would imagine. In other words, if I were guessing, I didn't look into the research, but the pshat in these things is like this. You don't, when laundering is a pretty rough process, and if you don't seal it up, when you launder it, it will start ripping down the front. You don't want that. So you go ahead and they would sew up the Beis HaTzavar, and that protects the shirt when it's being laundered. That's the way I imagined it. But you basically made this an ice shirt through your sewing. And that's why, at least I think Shlomo Zalman Auerbach must have thought that it was different.
Could one say that just like the sewing up the shirt, so the shirt is still a shirt, but you cannot use it.
No, it's not a shirt. It's not a complete shirt when there's no hole for your head, or no hole that your head will fit into. That's the difference.
Well, no, but I'm trying to make the analogy. In the case of the bottle cap, could you argue that a bottle, the hishtamshus of a bottle cap to be able to take it on and off the bottle?
You can still put it on and off. It just, there's a... To get it easily off, there is something that's preventing that was inserted or designed to be there to make it so that you would know that it hasn't been used before. But it's still screwed on. It is a bottle cap in the factory and screwed on that way.
No, okay. Whatever.
It's a tricky question, and it's not. I don't know. I don't think that there's a pircha from Beis HaTzavar, but it's not also, you know, the svar of Asher Weiss is a svar. I can't say it's wrong either. Okay. Yeah. So. This relates to another theory of Rav Asher Weiss about seven layer cake and sushi and the like, about being mashlam at surah of something, right? The Gemara says on Daf Memches Mid Aleph that Rav Chisda was permitted to restuff a pillow, but not to stuff it for a first time. Why is that, Asher? So says Rashi, because of Asiyas Kli. Okay. So what do we see? That makes sense. You're even though you're combining two different things, I don't know, the fluff with the rest of the pillow. What's, as we said, significantly is, even though it's not, there's no you're not tokeya, it's ruffle, as it were, but since you've completed the Kli, it's true. And that's Paskind in Shin Yud Zion Sif base. This could even be true with respect to putting a shoelace into shoes for the first time. Ayin Sham, Aruch HaShabbos addresses that question on page Resh Pei Tes. Whereas to return it, like the fluff fell out, where it could be easily returned, you wouldn't say that. Another application of that in Nishmir Shabbos Kilchasa is to fill a ball with air for the first time, or the like. Why? Because that's like stuffing the pillow, right? You pump up the ball with air, so that would be a problem. Okay, now, what does this have to do with food? So is it shayach bona by food? So the Gemara says, on Daf Tzadi Chesem and Aleph, that megabein is chayach mishum bona. Why? So we saw in the Rambam, the pshat is that building is about taking parts and unifying them to make something new. So to over here, you're taking the curds and you're unifying them to make a block of cheese. It's machlokas harishonim, whether this is asa b'deraisa or asa b'derabanan. Let's assume it's asa b'deraisa. So the Rashba on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis has following shaila. Why don't we say that, or how could we say that on the one hand, ain binyan b'stira v'kelim, and at the same time say that your chayev for megabin? So this was one of the rayas that the Rashba brought, that you see yesh binyan mistir b'kelim. Now only Rashba's theory, if you remember, was only when it's the creation of something new, and this is the creation of something new. Interesting to think about those who seem to take a more hardline position. You know, what would they say about this? Tosos asks a different question. He says that maybe binyan should be mutter on yantif. Why? Because presumably you can make cheese on yantif, and therefore maybe we should say mitoch. Okay, maybe midrabanan, it's still aser, but in theory, at least, that's a possibility to consider saying mitoch. And why is it aser then? Because of ofdin d'chol or other things. That's the view of Tosfos.
Do we apply mitoch from a toldah to the av?
That's a question, but probably. So this brings us to an interesting question, which is it could come up. Yeah, we'll leave it for now. So what about sushi? So there are I've been asked this a couple of times. People want to make sushi on Shabbos. So again, there's sometimes some other issues that come up, but the main problem we have to think about is the isser of bona. Because once we say that it's shayach binyan ba'ochud, like megabin, we also talked about this earlier in the year when we talked about ma'amer, exactly. We were looking for things that might fit into ma'amer. So let's look at it in terms of bonin. So if we say that there is bona, so maybe it's the same thing here. In other words, just like by cheese, we're being makabe, it's different things, the rice, the, what's it called, the maui, the nori, the whatever, the seaweed, the avocado, you're comprising them together to build something new. Now, there's an interesting lesson to that Rashi I quoted before, right? He says, "V'im ein binyan b'kelim, me'af afshar she'yesh binyan ba'ochlin, ela she'osa davar v'tchilas ol'chai mishum osa kli, v'hu habona." So, what about here? Could it be the same thing?
It's not unified.
Oh, so what do you mean it's not unified? It's a piece of sushi. It's not uniform like cheese, but neither is a house. I mean, a house is comprised of bricks and cement and wood and nails and all sorts of things.
You pick it up and it all falls apart.
It shouldn't fall apart. Not if you do good sushi. That's if you make homemade sushi. That's one of the milas. Like, whenever people have the shayla, they're making homemade sushi. So the homemade sushi, you know, it usually does. We've never made homemade sushi on Shabbos, but we've tried making homemade sushi during the week. After all, like, why should you spend $12 on something that's worth 45 cents? And you're right, that almost always what happens. But when it's well done, I know you're right, it's not, that's not happens. You pick it up and it stays together and the like. It's well built, the rice is sticky and it holds together. So the Chai Adam writes like this. This is Klal Lametesif Aleph. Afilu b'davar ma'achal shayach binyan, kegon hamagabin gvina kiyotzei bo, v'lav davka gvina, Alafilu amedabek peros umachavin lasosam bal tmuna aruch omiruba chayev mishum bona. Wow. So I don't know what he's talking about. Your medabek peros umachavin lasosam bal tmuna. But anyway, so I think they say from Rav Asher Weiss that making sushi, or even he thought like making 7-layer cake would be a problem with this. What are you doing when you make 7-layer cake? You take, just like the bricks, you take a layer of cake, you take frosting is like the mortar and another layer and the like. Now, how far do you take that? So what about making a peanut butter sandwich? I'm merging three things together. I'm using the peanut butter to connect two pieces of bread. So the answer is, if we take a look, we talked about this in Simon Shinman for the Magen Avraham. Shinmem, if you had says like this, Hamakabitz Dveila, Vasami Mena equal, oh, Shinakov Teinim, Echnes Hachevel Bahem, Achinis Kabtsu Guf Echad, Hareza told us Me'amer, Vachaivalav Ukiotibo, says the Magen Avraham, Tachin, Delama lo Yishayev Bezem, Mishumbone. Why isn't there also a Chiv of Bona when you make this equal a Dveila? Like by Megabin, Vitzachlom, Adelomikri Bona. So when image is relevant, it's shaykh to be bona. Now, obviously, that's a simon l'davar. But I think his point is that this isn't just food that's being pushed together, but it's something new. So the case of the peanut butter sandwich, that's certainly going to be okay. Sort of interesting, right? I would have answered the Magen Avraham's question differently. I would have said that maybe it's only bona when it's transformative, like cheese making. You start off with one thing and you get something totally different. Would you say the same thing as smushing fruit together? Yeah. In other words, it's totally different from bricks and mortar and the like. You've created a house. Now, the question is, smushing fruit together to make like the Ule Dvela. I would have thought that you start off with fruit, dried fruit, and you end up with smushed together dried fruit. Okay, but maybe not. Maybe you've created an equal, right? So that's something new. So, but anyway, the point is that it's still not bona because you're not miskaven liafoso ula hashvoso. Now the Rishon Zalman Arbach has the following shayla on this chayada. So, maybe. says, why is it mutter to make chal on yantif? Fine. I hear the kasha, right? Why is cheese bona? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, maybe because cheese is meant to last a long time, but anything that's short-lived, like cake or sushi or challah, would be okay. So that would be tzad to be mako for sushi.
And equally, they learn that for a long time.
Yeah. Maybe it's usser when you build some type of edifice, like that thing that the Chayadim was talking about, or sushi or seven-layer cake. But the peanut butter sandwich, so that is just a way to be malafes esapas. Hard to know. Rabbi Ari Zatz has an article on this, which I haven't, and I forgot to look up for today. But I think he argued, it's published many years ago in the RJJ Journal, I think he argued that the difference between a sandwich and a sushi is that a sushi stays together, but a sandwich doesn't. I don't know. I mean, I think that a sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, does stay together as well as sushi. Probably better. You obviously have bad experiences with your sushi falling apart.
No, I'm a sushi connoisseur, actually.
So I see. Okay, so you're saying, so you think sushi doesn't really hold well together. I think if you're right, then you'd be right. Meaning to say, I think if sushi really falls apart, then it certainly wouldn't be a shiloh bona.
Question? You initially were talking about, I forget whom you were quoting, to make stick the pairs together to form a tzura.
Yeah.
That
was the chayyadim.
Chayyadim. Is he implying this? There's an aspect of kosev here? I mean, why would surah be relevant unless you're worrying about kosev?
No, because you're building a structure. You're building a fruit house. I don't know what. I can't say I know what he's talking about.
I've actually seen before, like by caterers, like a long toothpick, and they'll give you like a whole main dish in that toothpick. Like there will be like a grilled pepper, grilled mushroom,
shish kebabs, chicken. Right, but those are
And like the eight foods in the long toothpick.
You think that's what he means?
No, but I'm asking, is that permitted?
I saw the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, he also quotes this Magen Avraham, and he goes really far. But I don't think it's accepted. He says that, I'll read it to you. Isser bona shach gam b'machal, kigona megabin vina, o shemedabig peiros, u mashvel son, shiyu yafin, v'lachain, kish, so that's what we're talking about, medabig peiros, u mashvel son, v'lachain, kshetochven betzalem im beitzim, o im chelev, dag, Maluach, Yeshizar, Shalolahash Vosam, Uliafosam, Elianicham Kmoshem. So if you remember, this is the Tzibala Shaila. We've already talked about making this type of egg salad dish in I think three or four malachos already, right? We talked about it Tochem, we talked about it by Lash. So we're back to this dish full of malachos. So what he means, I think, is as follows. The way that they used to do this is they would make this egg salad, and then they want it to look nice, so you'd put it on a plate. Smooth it out, make a nice circle so it presents nicely, right? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, based off of this Magen Avraham / really Chayadam. It's Aser. That's Aser. And like Magen Avraham was the one who said, well, if you're Mashve Panav to make it look nice, it's Aser. So this is Aser, Mashve Panav. I'm making it look nice. So now, this is usr, because what happens? First, you combine the things, the eggs, the onions, and then you shape it. I think it would be mutter if you either combined it before and you're just putting on the shape, or you don't care about the shape. So that's why he would agree by the sandwich, unless you're mechaven liafoso hashvoso.
What about the skewers?
So let's get back to that in a second. Let's first do sushi. I've never thought about that chayla before, but I like to think about it. So I saw on the OU website, they quote Rabbi Belsky, who said, based off the Magen Avraham, if you don't care about what your sushi looks like, then it would be okay. But if you have professional sushi makers, they're certainly very careful about appearance. Right? Sushi is like this art. And that's certainly appearance is definitely a big deal here. So be okay. So I think homemade sushi or sushi that falls apart, like all the sushi you usually have, certainly going to be okay. The tzad to make, to, on the other hand, sushi that stays together and you care about the appearance and is tight, not so pasha to be matir.
So then why can you eat it? Why isn't that so sad?
Well, then why could you eat cheese?
So why can you eat cheese?
You said the word and then Rebbe answered.
So no, but I'm, but my, maybe my, my right, but that won't work here. In other words, what I was saying before, I told you before when you asked me about sushi, cheese, why could it be cheese? I said, because you're not undoing the binyan right. thing. But now the question is, what is that true for, here? In other words, you're not returning it to curds. It's just, you're making small pieces of cheese. But over here, in a sense, you're just undoing what was done. They were all together.
You're not really, you're not eating all the rice.
You're saying this is like any other food. When you chew sushi, it's the same thing as chewing a piece of meat. What about taking a bite out of sushi?
So that's a good question. Like, we like back forward, like, let's say if we ever get sushi, so my son wants a bottle cap. So I've done it before. It's not a bora shayna.
Right.
Because I'm giving him, he wants it. Mm-hmm. But is it a sosa shayna?
Anyway, you have to do that for the brachos.
Right. Okay. But it's a yeah.
Yeah. I hear. So basically, if you are disassembling sushi in a sense, in the same way, you're reversing the process. If we say that making the sushi is bona, so then reversing that process would be soser. I agree. In other words, eating the sushi is okay. Eating the seven-layer cake, except the chumrah of Rav Asher Weiss, is okay,
right?
But disassembling it, reversing that process, should be aser. All right, I hear. Think about it. So now let's talk about your case. Yeah?
You're disassembling it in the process of eating it? In other words, it's not like you take the sushi and revert it.
Yeah, to if you just put it in your mouth and you eat it, that would be okay. Then it's no different than the other food.
No, but you take a bite out of it, but you're not...
That's fine. But if you... That was his question was, can you disassemble it? Can you separate the avocado from the rice?
Oh.
That was his question. So that might be us eating it.
Uh-huh. That might be probably more of Borer, isn't it?
Let's say it's Ohom Yitov Solas. That's okay. Uh-huh. He likes the avocado. So the Borer problem, we could get around.
Yeah.
Here. Now, okay, so now you asked a different question. Never thought about that. So let's say we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a shish kebab stick and put on it whatever, some vegetables, meat, fruit, I don't know, whatever you want. Is that bonga? And just for to add on, you know, you're certainly mechavein for yipoy, right? You want it to look nice. That's the whole idea. I don't know. I hear. What do you guys think? The question is like this. Maybe we'll say that's not really integrated. In other words, that's just like lamashal. I go and I take my fork and I stab two things with it. So I have two things on the fork, right? So there's no integration there. So here too, it's not like it's become a single unit. The reason why sushi is a shaila, and certainly magabin is a problem, is because you've taken a bunch of separate things and they've been unified to become one thing. So I think that in this case, that's probably, and even if you're going to say seven layer cake, so the same thing, it's taken a bunch of things and now it's cake. Over here, these are still separate and discrete things. It's your whole meal on a skewer, but it's still the first course, second course, third course, I'm saying. So I would think that's not, there's no integration here. It hasn't become a single thing. It's still separate things, the tomato and the cucumber and whatever you have on there, the meat and the potato are not integrated into one thing. So I would think that's okay. Let's think about it more. Okay, I've never seen that yet. Yeah.
In the case, which is the one that I was dealing with, where you put everything, you put holes in the thing, and you put them together.
I think, you smush them together. Yeah. Right. But it's miskabetz to a guf echad.
You're saying that's not because of the fact there's a chevel, but it's...
No. So that's what I'm thinking.
But even the caterer would be upset if when it came to your seat, it was already disassembled.
Right, but what do I do when I come to my seat? I take fork,
right.
I take all those things out, right. And now I have a meal.
Right.
So this is like putting a bunch of vegetables into a bag. It happens to be that they're connected using a stick, but each one retains its discrete identity. And that's why it's not like the Rambam says by Megabin, where it's Nase Gofechad. So that would be my inclination. Think about it more. Aha. Okay. These are common things?
By people? I've done this in the work.
Got it.
I've done this.
Okay. So I was going to talk about more OL stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In terms of Yontov, you know, it just—I mean—you made the distinction between the challah only lasts a short time and
that was Shlomo Zalman's distinction.
Okay, but that should not be a distinction. You can keep bread around for a long time if you want to. You can.
Shlomo Zalman's working on the impression that it's only a bone shaila when it's typically meant to last. A wheel of cheese, lasts for months. Whereas when you just put it together, you're right. We discussed the shaila of bona. If you're chayim shem bona for short term, I think he meant it more as a siman l'davar. Yes. Kenzain. Well, there you didn't make it. Here the problem is you've combined it together. So chumos. You're just taking it out of the can or the body, whatever the container, putting it on a plate and now making a nice image. So that's okay. This is a different shayla. Here you've made it, you've combined the eggs and the onions and the oil and all those things. And now having combined them, you now make this edifice. So that's why he's machmir. Nah, I wouldn't think so. I'm not sure we accept that also. Okay. Let's talk a little bit. I don't know. Let me tell you the plan that I had, and now we could decide how we want to do this. That my plan was for today to finish up, to do Machatech now, and also finish up Bonev and Soser, but I don't know if we could do both. And then tomorrow I wanted to do Havara and Kiboy. And the main thing I wanted to do for Kiboy is Gram Kiboy, and to go back and talk about Gram in general and timers and all these things, which are very, very interesting and relevant shailas. So if we're going to do Gram Kiboy tomorrow, maybe we should just do Machatech now, and will that work? We won't talk about the other things. I'll just talk about, I told you, we said we would talk about putting covers on toy bins. Anybody have a theory? Gatzad l'hakel? And the question is like this. You have a big toy bin, and you put the cover on, and there's more than a tefach from the top, from the cover to the thing. And you've moved it around. Would that be mutter according to the Mishnah Berurah? Kohen Chazon Ish would be okay because he doesn't accept that idea that when you move something around, that's considered as though you've made new walls. There's two issues here, but one is that it's very big. The Magen Avraham cites Tosfos, and then that leaves open the question, well, maybe how big is very big? Some of those things are big, but it's hard to know what the shear is. But even if you're not worried about that. There's we are machmir in shin tesvav sif yud gimel to put a kisui kedera when it's a kedera gedola and there's a halal tefach.
That's Karam Vohil?
Yeah. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sifkata Mem Ches. Very end of Shem Teshvat. If you write, Bafakam Shay Lachter Kedera, that's okay, because Mechitzas Kfar Suyos. And he writes, Lefizah, he says you can't, they used to make a folding table by putting a tabletop on top of barrels. And he thinks that's aser if the barrels are facing up. And even though over there you're certainly not machaving for OL or anything like that, you're not even using the space underneath it. That's what his chumra is. So the Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish, and it's cited here in Dershow Notes 96, he says, Motor gam latalta l'sateve mechitzoseha, sherei ein ze nechshav kamadas mechitzos. And I don't know, I thought that this idea that when you move the walls, it's like creating new walls of the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes it from the Prima Gadim, it's very, very Kiddush. So I think that the minute is to be makel on this, and I think the best reason is based off of this Chazon Ish. I think the Chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah, that moving the walls gives it the shame new walls. But if you're machmir for the Mishnah Berurah, is there a heter to move around your toy bin and use it? Again, Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't be mochan and mekilim because they could be somech on the Rishonim. There are various tzadim lahakel, but lemaisa were machmir. So anyway, that's a hara to think about. If you moved it around, you have a big enough pot. There's more than a tefach. So we saw before that there's a heter about handles and the like, but that's why I gave the example of the toy bin. Shlomo Zalman has the heter for handles. This isn't a pashat kula either. That's noted. That was in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and also it's in Dershow Note 71, because it's. Yeah, but first of all, usually you don't have a tefach, oftentimes. But anyway, but yes, fine. Let's say that's what you're relying on. I mean, it's not just a yontif problem; it's a Shabbos problem. Also, use pots.
And then usually you have a
pot. Anyway, so but so pots we have. Anyway, tell me if anyone has anything. I was also going to talk about hats, but I guess we'll leave that. Okay, let's do mechatich. That's okay, right. Okay, baseball caps, Adorabba. Why you have the biggest problem? No, anyone have a tzad lahakel for a baseball cap with a thick tefach? No, so you're fine. You're not worried about the hotza issue, let's say. But that is a tefach thick brim, which some do, not all. Many, many baseball caps, there's various range in terms of how big your visor is going to be.
It's not for shade because
they're too it's definitely it's no it is for shade. It's not true. I only wear it in the rain. I only wear when I was training. I wear a baseball cap to shul to get to shul to keep my right. So and the baseball cap. Why do I choose a baseball cap? It gives me where I wear it when it's very sunny outside. I'm going for a walk. I want to wear a baseball cap. 1 inch hard. Is there any stud? In other words. For the black hats, maybe we would say just decorative and the like. Rav Eliashiv has such a fire. All right, another thing to think about. Okay, but now today we're just
not wear a black hat on Shabbos.
That's definitely a chumrah. The briskers are machmir because of the other issue that Yoni brought up. Because otzah, they won't wear a yarmulke and a hat, so they take off their yarmulkes before they go outside. They said that from Rav Eliashiv, that even if you don't use the Erev, you could be somech on the Erev Lin Yin Zeh.
The
yeah, but that's not. So But a little of course we have. But the question is the didactician. So, okay. Well, that's a question on the Shulchan Aruch, not on this, right? So the answer is, we don't need machitzos if it's asur l'tzel. And if a brim, so I think that what Rav Eliashiv is quoted as saying is very mistaber, which is for borsalinos, whatever they are, the goal is, they're decorative. You wear it inside. They're not for tzel. Oftentimes, they're also soft is another tzad to be mako. But that's why I think the baseball cap is much more b'shaila. It's hard, generally speaking. It's asui l'tzel, and it's oftentimes more than a tefach. Oftentimes it's not, but that's a...
More modern trend now is that they're less. They're smaller now.
The hats, the black hats. Yeah, yeah, that's, you know. But in 3 years from now, they're going to go back. Okay, fine. Okay, so let's talk about mechatech. I'm going to just, I'll make a new recording.